This is Philosophy Bites with me, David Edmonds.
And me, Nigel Warburton.
Philosophy Bites is available at www.philosophybites.com.
Philosophy Bites is made in association with the Institute of Philosophy.
Philosophy Bites has just published a second book with Oxford University Press. Following the publication of Philosophy Bites, you can now buy Philosophy Bites back. For details, go to www.philosophybites.com. To mark the launch, we're releasing this compilation, in which leading philosophers are each asked the same simple question.
I'm Helen Beebe. I'm a professor of philosophy at the University of Birmingham.
Who's your favourite philosopher?
My favourite philosopher is David Hume. Just as an intellectual achievement, some of his writings, particularly the treatise, are just phenomenal and incredibly ahead of their time. He asked questions that other philosophers had not thought to ask. He challenged the orthodoxy when it came to religion and causation and all those sorts of things. I think I believe some of the things that Hume believed, but I think that's a sort of a side issue. I think a lot of philosophers have Hume as their favourite philosopher, even if they don't really agree with what he says.
Yeah, I'm Professor Luke Bovens at the London School of Economics and Political Science. I'm head of department in the Department of Philosophy, Logic and Scientific Methods. I very much enjoy reading Aristotle, actually. I feel like when you read Aristotle, it's like every letter that's written there, every word that's written there is important. You have the feeling he was writing on parchment. Every time I pick it up, I see new things. Being at the London School of Economics, actually, where we're interested really in philosophy being continuous with the sciences, right? Now, this may be a bit of a controversial claim, but I think in reading Aristotle, sometimes what you see is sort of a proto-economist at work. You see this kind of continuity between the style of argumentation that is being used in philosophy and the style of argumentation that is used in the empirical sciences. And deep down, there is no distinction. And that's what I find so wonderful in Aristotle.
I'm Nick Bostrom. I'm professor in the Faculty of Philosophy at Oxford University.
Who's your favorite philosopher?
It's putting me on the spot. I'm not sure I have one favorite philosopher. Contemporary philosophy, at least the way I'm doing it, is more like science in that there are many people who have made significant contributions, and you're not so much following in the footsteps of one great individual, but you're more drawing on the heritage accumulated by many people working for a long time.
Sarah Bakewell, who's your favourite philosopher?
Well, I think I'd have to be greedy and go for two. Michel de Montaigne, who wrote essays about his life with a philosophical turn, because he is so much an ordinary human being. I'd also go for Friedrich Nietzsche, because he also came at philosophy from completely unexpected angles, and like Montaigne, always looked for the underlying, radical, unexpected angle on everything that he wrote about.
So I'm Pascal Bruckner, French writer and philosopher, and I've been writing for 35 years. I live on my books, and I love my work.
Who's your favourite philosopher?
Well, it used to be Jean-Paul Sartre, as every guy in my generation when I was young. And then I don't have any more favorite philosopher, but I have a big array of philosophers, going from John Locke to Stuart Mill, Levinas, Karl Jaspers, Hannah Arendt. So there's so many good philosophers that it's hard to pick up just one and elect him as your master.
My name is Noel Carroll. I'm a distinguished professor in the philosophy program at the Graduate Center of the City University of New York.
Noel Carroll, who's your favorite philosopher?
I guess my favorite philosopher is Aristotle. Maybe the biographical reason is I was trained a Catholic and I've had Thomism drilled into my bones since my earliest days. But I do appreciate both the naturalistic approach and in reference to human affairs, the teleological approach.
I'm David Chalmers. I'm Professor of Philosophy and Director of the Center for Consciousness at the Australian National University. I'm also Professor of Philosophy at New York University.
Could you tell me who your favorite philosopher is?
Well, lately I've been really very taken by the works of Rudolf Carnap, who was a logical empiricist working on the 20s, 30s, and 40s. His great work is Der logische Aufbau der Welt, the logical structure of the world. And right now I'm actually trying to work on a project which recapitulates some of Carnap's ideas and somehow trying to figure out the fundamental structure of descriptions of reality and where we can go from there. So he's been an inspiration to me.
I'm Claire Chambers and I teach at Jesus College, Cambridge. Well, I'm enormously impressed by the work of Catherine MacKinnon, who is a political philosopher and also an active legal scholar and legal practitioner, because her work is extremely significant both theoretically and, as I say, for the practice of law.
I'm Pat Churchland. I'm a philosophy professor at the University of California in San Diego. My true, true love is David Hume, Saint David, as Simon Blackburn calls him. And that's because I think he was, first of all, so tremendously dedicated to really getting to the bottom of things. He was totally unswayed by fashion and the sort of current way of doing things. He zeroed in the most intelligent way on the most difficult issues, and he got so much right.
I'm Tim Crane. I'm the Knightbridge Professor of Philosophy at the University of Cambridge. Descartes is my favourite philosopher, not because I think what he said was true, but because he was incredibly clear in his vision of things, and he had a conception of the world. He had an ambitious conception of the world that he wanted to fit everything into that conception, and he did it in a very, very simple and clear way. I like that.
My name is Alain de Botton. I'm a writer. Probably my favourite philosopher is Nietzsche, because he both has a fascinating metaphysical structure to his thought, and at the same time writes beautifully, has a sense of humour, and is a genuine creative artist.
Professor Michael Dummett, who's your favourite philosopher and why?
Gottlob Frege, because he was the first person, the first philosopher, to give a clear analysis of the structure of sentences and thereby of the thoughts that they express.
I'm Ronald Dworkin. I teach law and philosophy at various places and have done for some time.
Professor Dworkin, who's your favourite philosopher?
Well, I'm very attracted to Immanuel Kant's work. It seems to me an endless source of, if I may say so, interpretation and reinterpretation. One of the books that has given me most pleasure is a book sitting there called Kant, A Dworkin. And the pleasure is increased by the fact that I can't read it. It's in French.
So I'm Cécile Fabre, and I teach political and moral philosophy at Oxford University.
Cécile Fabre, who's your favourite philosopher?
Oh my God. So my favourite philosopher in the English language is Thomas Hobbes, because he's able to write extraordinarily beautifully and in a way that is utterly compelling, even though his substantive conclusions, i.e. we should have an absolute monarch, are completely counterintuitive. So it's this ability to do both at the same time, which I love. My favourite philosopher in French is Rousseau, because he writes, again, you know, very beautifully, very concisely, and has similarly counterintuitive views, but somehow writes about those views, you know, so well and so compellingly that, you know, I keep being drawn back to the works again and again and again.
Hello, I am Kit Fine, Professor of Philosophy at New York University. My favourite philosopher is Aristotle. He is one of the greatest geniuses of all time, who wrote profoundly on a wide range of questions.
Cynthia Freeland, who is your favourite philosopher?
Aristotle, and that might surprise people because I am a feminist and known as such, and he said so many misogynistic things, but I think Aristotle was a philosopher who was really grounded in biology and in trying to deal with the real world, and I'm an admirer of his respect for living organisms and also for his approaches in ethics, his virtue ethics. So I just find him very appealing.
My name is Raymond Goyce. I live in Cambridge. My favorite philosopher is Thucydides, and he's my favorite philosopher because no one else thinks he's a philosopher, but I think he is.
I'm Jonathan Glover. I've been teaching philosophy for vast numbers of years. I taught for about 30 years at New College, Oxford. I've more recently been teaching at King's College, London.
Jonathan Glover, who's your favourite philosopher?
Socrates. Not because I accept many of his particular opinions, but because he invented the whole thing. I still teach, so does everybody teaching philosophy. We teach by the method Socrates invented, which is you ask people, what do you think about this? What's your opinion? And then you press for maximum clarity and explicitness. Do you mean this or do you mean that? When you've got it really clear, then there are counterexamples. Oh, I see, that's your view, is it? But what about applying that principle to this case? Surely you can't think this. And this is the method of philosophy. It's a wonderful method. That's Socrates' first contribution. And the second contribution was that he didn't shut himself off in some academy, but talked in the marketplace to people. He would have been on this programme if he'd had the chance. Too many philosophers, in my opinion, treat philosophy as a kind of esoteric, technical thing, which isn't for the public. I think this is a huge loss.
I'm Alison Gopnik, and I'm a professor of psychology and affiliate professor of philosophy at the University of California at Berkeley. My favorite philosopher is David Hume, partly because he's one of the few philosophers who you think would have been a really, really nice guy, but also because he was not only a father of philosophy, but also of psychology. And he was someone who thought very profoundly about philosophical questions, but also about empirical psychological questions. And I think also because he was someone who appreciated the role of sentiment and emotion and our everyday life, the way that that plays a role in really even abstract, rational, and logical argument.
I'm John Horton. I teach political philosophy at Keele University. Probably my favourite philosopher is not a political philosopher at all. It's Ludwig Wittgenstein, who I think is simply the greatest philosopher that I've ever read for the incredible rethinking of philosophy as an activity.
Alan Howarth. I used to teach philosophy at the University of North London, now London Metropolitan University. Well, my favourite philosopher would be a cross between Wittgenstein, John Stuart Mill and Karl Marx. Wittgenstein, his careful analytical approach to philosophy and his sensitivity to nuances of language, Mill, his liberal principles, and Marx, his socialist ideals and his general kind of bolshiness.
This is Frank Jackson. I teach one semester a year at Princeton, and I've got a research position shared between the ANU and La Trobe University in Australia.
Frank Jackson, who's your favourite philosopher?
Oh, that's a difficult question. I really have three favourite philosophers. They're Jack Smart and David Armstrong and David Lewis. David Armstrong taught me when I was a student at Melbourne, gave wonderful lectures. I didn't believe much of what he said, but I could tell they're wonderful lectures. I was a colleague of Jack Smart's for a year in Adelaide. And then I met David Lewis, who seemed to me, as he did to so many people, to be something really quite special. You know, a sort of philosopher only comes along every 50 or 100 years. If you're putting me on the spot, I'd have to put David Lewis at the top of that list.
My name is Sean Kelly. I'm a professor of philosophy at Harvard University and the chair of the philosophy department there.
Sean Kelly, who's your favourite philosopher and why?
I think I'd have to say that Aristotle is my favourite philosopher, but I don't read Aristotle in a traditional way. One of the things that I'm interested in Aristotle is that he has a conception of what he calls the phronimos. It means something like the master of living a practical life. And what I'm interested in Aristotle's conception of the phronimos, is that he thinks that the phronimos cultivates in himself the ability to recognize immediately, without deliberation or thought, what's demanded of him in a situation. And that seems to me a very important skill to take account of.
Hi, I'm Joshua Noob. I'm a professor at Yale University.
Joshua Noob, who's your favorite philosopher?
You know, I've always had this admiration for Friedrich Nietzsche, and it was maybe he who first got me interested in philosophical questions. I think what I take from Nietzsche is this idea that we shouldn't simply be interested in understanding how people ordinarily think about certain kinds of questions, but that we should try to look deeper and in some way try to question these sort of ordinary views that we have and maybe rebel against the way that we've ordinarily been thinking about them.
I'm Chandran Kukathas. I'm professor of political theory at the London School of Economics in the Department of Government. My favourite philosopher is David Hume. It's partly a matter of my own biography, since he was the first philosopher that I started working on systematically when I was a master's student many years ago. I find myself attracted to his commonsensical and humane attitudes more generally, and I think I find myself attracted to his politics and also to his understanding of morality, which is, how should I put it, not nearly as stoical as the Germans, who are too stoical for me.
I'm Nicola Lacey. I'm Senior Research Fellow in Law at All Souls College, Oxford, and Professor of Criminal Law and Legal Theory in the university here.
Nicola Lacey, who's your favourite philosopher and why?
Your listeners must be aware that I'm not a philosopher. I wrote a biography of a philosopher called H.L.A. Hart, and so he engages my very deep interest as well as admiration. But I guess that if you were to ask me a slightly different question, which is, if you were a philosopher, which philosopher would you really want to immerse yourself in and become expert in? It would be Wittgenstein. To put this in the context of my work on both criminal law theory and on Hart, because I see Wittgenstein as analysing philosophical ideas in a way which is much more porous to a historical or a social scientific approach because of his idea that concepts found their form and texture within ways of life. That seems to me to invite more of an institutional analysis, which is what I'm really interested in.
Melissa Lane, Professor of Politics at Princeton University. My favorite philosopher is no surprises from my work. It would be the ancient Greek philosopher Plato, and it's because in his thought we see all the fundamental questions of philosophy conjoined. So we see why, in order to think about ethics and politics, we need to think about psychology, about epistemology, about metaphysics, how all of those questions are connected.
I'm Brian Leiter. I'm the Carl N. Llewellyn Professor of Jurisprudence at the University of Chicago and Director of the Center for Law, Philosophy, and Human Values there.
Brian Leiter, who's your favorite philosopher?
Oh, Fred. Fred Nietzsche. I call him Fred. Why is Nietzsche my favorite philosopher? Well, he's a great writer, and I think he's more right than wrong about most of the things he has views on. That's a very simple answer.
I'm Neil Levy. I'm head of neuroethics at the Florey Neuroscience Institutes in Melbourne, Australia. And I also work at the Oxford Centre for Neuroethics at Oxford University, where I'm director of research.
Neil Levy, who's your favourite philosopher and why?
I'm sadly ignorant of the history of philosophy. My history goes Socrates, Plato, Eyre, Russell, Wittgenstein, and then maybe Lewis. I very much like the naturalistic turn in philosophy. My favourite philosophers are people in that turn, like Jerry Fodor, if for nothing else than his wit.
My name's Tim Lewins. I'm a reader in philosophy of the sciences in the Department of History and Philosophy of Science at Cambridge University.
Tim Lewins, who's your favourite philosopher?
Oh, I don't think about that one. I'm going to go for David Hume. David Hume is my favourite philosopher because he's just right about most things, I think.
I'm Guy Longworth, and I teach at the University of Warwick. I think René Descartes, because I think that he gave us a set of philosophical issues of outstanding importance.
I'm Catherine McKinnon, teacher, lawyer, scholar, activist. I work at the University of Michigan and Harvard and for the prosecutor at the International Criminal Court.
Catherine McKinnon, who's your favourite philosopher?
Oh, the last woman I talked to, whoever she is.
Tariq Modood, University of Bristol. My goodness, I've got a number of favourite philosophers. Socrates is a big hero. Probably the philosopher that I've been, I think, most influenced by, though it might be a little bit in the background now, is Wittgenstein. Wittgenstein's emphasis that philosophy is not about trying to establish an ideal language like mathematics, and that words are not imprecise. They do exactly what they're meant to do. But what they're meant to do is not necessarily the strain that philosophers put upon them. This emphasis on meaning lies in use, I think, is a very important concept for me. Another very important concept for me is family resemblance, because that helps me to understand how, in my own field of multiculturalism, that those who try to get all groups to be like one particular model of ethnicity or equality or whatever are actually not only pursuing what looks like a politically impossible task, but they're intellectually flawed. They're working with a conception of concepts that I think Wittgenstein exploded.
I'm Simon May. I'm a philosopher and I'm visiting professor of philosophy at King's College and also visiting scholar at Chicago University. I would say my favourite philosopher remains Nietzsche, who was my second love, not my first love. Sometimes they're even stronger than your first love. The reason is that he had the courage to look at the whole of Western morality and critique it mercilessly. And I think that is what the job of philosophy is, and not to tinker around the edges or do too much conceptual slicing.
I'm Jeff McMahon. I'm professor of philosophy at Rutgers University in New Jersey. My favorite philosopher is Derek Parfit, who teaches at Oxford. I think that his work combines imagination and insight and rigor and clarity in a way that's really unprecedented.
Well, I'm Hugh Mellor. I'm an emeritus professor of philosophy in the University of Cambridge. I started off as a chemical engineer and converted to philosophy by a rather devious route involving my introduction to it in the University of Minnesota by Herbert Feigl, also an ex-chemical engineer who was one of the more famous and remarkable members of the Vienna Circle. I think my favourite philosopher is a fellow Cambridge philosopher, much more eminent and impressive than I am, called Frank Ramsey. He died in 1930, just before his 27th birthday, having created two branches of economics, a branch of mathematics, which was his job officially, and made contributions to metaphysics, to the philosophy of mind, the philosophy of action, the philosophy of language, the philosophy of probability, and decision theory, which have really not been matched since his day.
I'm Sue Mendes, and I'm Professor of Political Philosophy at the University of York. My favourite philosopher is John Stuart Mill, because he led a rich political life and worked out his philosophical theories in the political world. He was politically engaged. Although the myth doesn't tell you this, he was a very passionate man, and a man with very great concern for those who were less well off than he was. And I think he also had a sad life and struggled with his own personality, with his own background, and triumphed. So he's my favorite.
I'm John McKyle. I teach law and philosophy at Georgetown University. I would mention two, David Hume and Jeremy Bentham. I think Hume was a phenomenal theorist of mental activity, just absolutely exceptional in his subtle description of our mental lives and really imposing philosophical problems that have been enduring. And Bentham is a kind of hero because of his moral and political outlook, the way in which he, as a young person, was scandalized by the kind of the corruption, really the immorality around him and of his society, and set himself to really change that and was really remarkably effective in doing that.
I'm David Miller. I'm professor of political theory at Nuffield College, Oxford, and I work in political philosophy and social sciences. I have two favourite philosophers, Hume and Wittgenstein. What I like about them both is that they've permanently inoculated me against a certain kind of scepticism. This is why, for example, I've never been in the slightest tempted by any form of postmodernism or any of these types of theories. It's because I think if you study these philosophers, you'll see at once the self-defeating character of certain forms of sceptical reasoning.
I'm Adrian Moore, Professor of Philosophy at Oxford University and Tutorial Fellow in Philosophy at St. Hugh's College. Kant, partly because of the incredible breadth of his philosophy, and partly also because of something which, in a way, comes as a surprise in that context, which is the incredible unity of his philosophy.
I'm Stephen Neal. I'm Professor of Philosophy at the Graduate Center, City University of New York. Bertrand Russell. He clarified an aspect of the use of language with his theory of descriptions, the full ramifications of which have still not been entirely felt. It's such an important contribution. It's the contribution that Russell himself clung to for his entire life. And when he was asked very late in life what his most important contribution to philosophy was, he said the theory of descriptions. I'm inclined to agree.
Susan Lehman, who's your favourite philosopher and why?
Well, if I can only pick one, I would pick Kant. And I pick Kant because I think he's actually the bravest of anyone. Kant's most important insight was that there's a huge gap between the way the world is and the way the world ought to be. And both of those have equal value. And one needs to keep both of them constantly in mind. It's an extremely hard stance to take. It's very modern. It means a certain amount of living on the edge. It means a certain amount of permanent frustration. People tend to go in one direction or the other. Either they say, well, the way the world is all there is, and any sort of ideal is an illusion that you ought to grow out of. Or they project some kind of illusion and say, well, this is where you get Stalinism or something. That the way the world ought to be is the way the world is. Living with both is extremely hard, and it means that you know that you will never realize entirely the ideals that you believe in. But I think it's the only way of being both honest and hopeful at the same time.
Martha Nussbaum, who is your favorite philosopher?
Well, that's a hard question, but I guess I would say John Stuart Mill. And part of the reason is that when I imagine meeting the great philosophers of the past and talking to them, I immediately imagine their likely reaction of disdain for a woman. And I think Mill is one of the few, perhaps the only great philosopher of the past who actually thought of women as equals, and I think I could have a very good conversation with him.
Honoré O'Neill, who's your favorite philosopher?
Well, I've worked on Immanuel Kant for more years than I'm going to tell you, and I think that I have developed an unusual and broad reading of Kant's philosophy, which is a good deal more sympathetic than some of the caricatures. So go there, it's worth it. Read it, read some of the lesser works. And of course, I'm not alone in this now. People are writing recent PhDs I've been in contact with, Kant and environmental ethics, Kant and intellectual property. There's a lot in there when you get into the wider Kant.
Philip Pettit, who's your favourite philosopher and why?
Oh, dear, you should have given me some notice on that question. I'm a great enthusiast of Hobbes, insofar as I think, I wrote a book on this a couple of years ago, that he's the one who first introduced a very important thesis, which is that we are pretty well like other animals, except insofar as we chanced upon language. Now, of course, Hobbes developed that in the absence of a knowledge about evolutionary theory, but actually I think his views can be reworked consistently with what we know about Darwinian theory. Whether or not they're exactly right, such a wonderful idea. But of course I hate Hobbes when it comes to his political philosophy. So on that matter, I mean, I find perhaps Kant more appealing, although Kant in other ways troubles me, I have to say too, I mean, in political philosophy. I'd have to start mentioning more obscure figures, I think like Joseph Priestley, Richard Price in the 18th century. These are really my heroes in political thinking.
Hello, I'm Nick Phillipson. I used to teach history at Edinburgh University. I'm now retired, happily retired, because it gives me time to write about the philosophers I love. My favourite philosopher, I think, is still David Hume. There is something enormously sympathetic about David Hume. He is a sceptic, and not a dogmatic sceptic. He is very funny. He writes wonderful letters, and he was a good cook.
Oh, I'm Anne Phillips. I'm a professor of political and gender theory at the London School of Economics. My favourite philosopher is Hannah Arendt. I don't really know why, but every time I start a new research project, I find myself rereading Hannah Arendt and finding more interesting things about the world. I couldn't summarise her philosophy, but she seems to me one of the most original thinkers that there is.
I'm Hannah Pickard. I'm a philosopher at Oxford and a therapist for personality disorder. My favourite philosopher is Hume, because I think he's wonderful to read and he takes emotions seriously, which in my view, both moral philosophy and philosophy of mind have failed to do at the detriment of understanding human nature, which is what I would like philosophy to aim to do.
Thomas Pogge, who is your favourite philosopher and why?
I would have to say Kant, actually, is my favourite philosopher. And why? For two reasons. One is that he was just so damn good. It's just inexhaustible reading Kant. And I just love to read Kant, love to follow his thought. And every time I read his work, I find new things. So, you know, this standard question, what would you take to a desert island if you could take only one book? It would definitely be the First Critique, the Critique of Pure Reason, even though I've read it many times before. It's just inexhaustible. The other thing is that I admire Kant's seriousness about philosophy. He was just a man who, in regard to his moral philosophy, for example, was just incredibly careful and serious. He thought about moral issues as if what he thought really, really mattered. And of course, in the end, it turned out it did. if only over the course of centuries rather than years.
Gideon Rosen, who's your favourite philosopher and why?
Oh, it's a hard question. My children are always asking me, who's your favourite this, who's your favourite that, and I never have these lists in my head. I've been teaching Hume for the past week, and as of today, Hume is my favourite philosopher. Hume is a philosopher who was bemused by the limits of philosophy. Hume was an abstract thinker of the first water who turned his gaze on ordinary human thought and ordinary human practice and found that under close scrutiny it eats its own tail, it dissolves. But Hume thought that although human beings are rational animals and this is an aspect of our nature that we should embrace and cannot deny, we are not just rational animals, we are also non-rational human animals, philosophical understanding of human life isn't designed to bring human life into line with philosophy. It's designed to bring philosophy into line with human life.
Paul Russell, who's your favourite philosopher?
Oh, that's a tough question because I have, if I can cheat and say two. Historically, I'm a huge fan of David Hume. It reflects my Scottish background. I admire Hume's clarity and precision and his sense of what are important large issues. The other person I hugely admire is another prejudice of mine, my supervisor, Bernard Williams, who is a hugely influential and important philosopher of the 20th century. And I enormously admire his philosophical abilities and insight. His range was terrific. And like Hume, I felt he had a great sense for what were important and significant philosophical problems and issues. He really offers a great, especially as a moral philosopher, I think a great critical insight into not just ethical issues, but also the nature of philosophy itself.
Michael Sandel, who's your favorite philosopher?
The philosopher I found most challenging and exciting was Hegel. I suppose in part because Hegel, difficult though he is to understand, he raised what I think are fundamental questions about the abstract morality of Kant, connecting morality with embodied ethical life.
Well, I'm Philip Schofield. I'm Professor of the History of Legal and Political Thought in the Faculty of Laws at University College London. I'm also General Editor of the new authoritative edition of the collected works of Jeremy Bentham and director of the Bentham Project. My favourite philosopher is Jeremy Bentham. I got a job working at the Bentham Project back in 1984 and he's kept me fed and watered ever since.
Peter Singer, who's your favourite philosopher?
Henry Sidgwick is my favourite philosopher. He's the least well known of the founding fathers of utilitarianism, that's Bentham, Mill and Sidgwick. But he's clearly the best as a philosopher. His masterpiece, The Methods of Ethics, is a wonderfully reasoned book. He thinks of many objections. He's scrupulously fair to his opponents, and he argues for what is essentially a utilitarian conclusion, although he has to admit that he's not convinced that he's been able to defeat the egoistic viewpoint. But there are just so many questions that Sidgwick brings up and reasons about in a way that is still relevant and so often still right today that I think he's without peer as a careful, reflective philosopher.
Barry Smith, who's your favourite philosopher?
I guess my opinion's changed over time. Michael Dummett was the first, but as I've grown older, Hume, Wittgenstein gets a look in there, and I guess alongside those for his work on understanding language, Chomsky. If I have to pick one of them, it would have to be David Hume, the great Scot. I think he had a commanding understanding of every aspect of our lives, how the mind works, how we fit into the world, nature of morality, our aesthetic judgments, politics. And he was really keen to understand exactly how we work as creatures, how our minds are built and how they are organized. And for that reason, I think he didn't care whether he was a philosopher, a psychologist or whatever. He just wanted to find things out, and he had a very good attempt at doing that.
I'm Richard Zarabji. I'm an honorary fellow of Wolfson College, Oxford. I don't really have a permanent favourite because I've changed my mind over time. At this very moment, the two philosophers who excite me most are the later Stoics, starting with a Stoic called Panaetius, who made moral philosophy very personal and individual, and Mahatma Gandhi. But no doubt that's because it's my most recent book.
My name's Hillel Steiner. I'm emeritus professor of political philosophy at the University of Manchester.
Who's your favourite philosopher?
Oh dear, you didn't forewarn me of this. I guess, boringly, I'm going to have to opt for John Locke, I think. Not merely, or indeed especially, for his political philosophy, which I find myself considerably in sympathy with, but more his place in the history, not rather than the specific doctrines that he advanced. He seems to me to have been an exemplary person in many respects.
Dan Sperber, who's your favourite philosopher?
Oh, that's a difficult one. I don't think I have one favourite philosopher. What I like in philosophy are precisely the disagreements, the dialogues, and so therefore not one philosopher above another, the ability to come with quite different point of views and exchange arguments.
I'm Robert Stern, and I teach at the University of Sheffield. Well, I think it has to be Hegel, because there's a sort of complexity to the thinking attempt to think through difficult issues and resolve them, which I think is an underused resource within contemporary philosophy, particularly within contemporary analytic philosophy, where most analytic philosophers have understandably enough been put off by the style and the language and one thing and another, but not seen that often Hegel gives you options, if you like, on the intellectual map that others haven't seen.
Galen Strawson, who's your favourite philosopher?
I think it's Immanuel Kant. Every time I hear the words, the critique of pure reason, I find myself involuntarily salivating. It's an absurd reaction, but it just is true. It's happening right now.
Hello, my name is Victor Tadros. I'm Professor of Criminal Law and Legal Theory in the Law School at the University of Warwick. Let me say Kant, because although I think Kant is enormously obscure and there are many problematic implications of his view and problematic ideas in his moral philosophy, there's something fundamental at the heart of it with respect to the idea that we should respect each other in virtue of their moral status that sits at a fundamental level in my own views and which I've learned an enormous amount from.
Robert Lees, who's your favourite philosopher?
John Stuart Mill is my favourite philosopher, not because I agree with everything he says, but I think that his main works, particularly on liberty, is one of the most moving, well-thought-out, accessible, and rigorously argued pieces of philosophy ever written.
Svetan Todorov, who's your favourite philosopher and why?
Maybe my favourite philosopher is Jean-Jacques Rousseau, because he is an extremely diverging, multifaceted author, a novelist, a drama writer, an autobiographer, a dreamer, an individualist, a socialist. He was extremely gifted and probably an unbearable person, but happily enough, we have the works.
Alex Verhoeven, who's your favourite philosopher?
I think it would be David Hume. I like his approach as a naturalist, trying to figure out our psychology and where our moral judgments and political judgments come from. I find him tremendously insightful and illuminating, and I'm always surprised at how discovering where your judgments come from can influence your thought about whether they're any good.
I'm Susan Wolfe. I teach philosophy at the University of North Carolina.
Who's your favorite philosopher?
Living or dead? Aristotle was the first person that came to mind. He was wise and humane.
Joe Wolf, who's your favourite philosopher and why?
Probably Hume. The reason for this is that he wrote the treatise when he was 26, and it's got probably 1,000 completely original and new ideas in it, and it just seems to me a miracle that someone of such young years could have thought so much already. Also for his incredible economy of expression. So that on one page, you might get 3 brilliant arguments. Most philosophers would have been quite satisfied with their life's work if they'd just produced the ideas on one page of Hume.
Hope you enjoyed that bonus edition of Philosophy Bites. Support Philosophy Bites and buy Philosophy Bites back, available from Oxford University Press.